Silence is not golden. Not on this day, anyway, that's for sure. There is a saying that is prevalent in our culture and society today, and it is this. It is what it is. Maybe it's somewhat similar to this phrase that went before it. You gotta live and let live. I suppose in both these sayings, there's a healthy recognition that sometimes in life, there are just things that are, things that sometimes in life we can do very little either to manage or to control. And if anything is true about our faith, it's that as Christians, we're not into management and control, but we are into trust and faith. That's what this day is all about, putting our trust and faith in the King of Jerusalem, the King of Israel, the King of the universe. We are not fatalists who believe that we are mere puppets on a string or, dare I say, doormats for other people to walk over. And we are not subject to the capricious whims of a moody universe that got up on the wrong side of the bed. No. Rather, as Christians, we believe that God is in charge and that the Lord does not purpose evil for us, but only good. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. And so part of the challenge of our faith is to find the good, yes, within the bad, the hope within the hurt, the healing within the brokenness, the faith within the doubt, the light within the darkness, the calm within the storm, and the peace within the conflict. As the saying goes, God never promised us an easy journey, only a safe arrival. Are you getting ready for your safe arrival, my friends? I know that I am. Praise the Lord. So while at face value, it is what it is, appears to be a nice saying that seeks to respect what life hands to us, we also affirm that faith leads us into action and not just benign acceptance. That God calls us to not get too comfy with blindly accepting what this life hands to us. What, for example, would our nation be like if Abraham Lincoln said, "Well, it is what it is when it comes to the subject of secession or slavery"? What if FDR or Winston Churchill said about the rise of the Third Reich, "Oh, it is what it is"? What if Selma Parks always said that riding in the back of the bus is what it is? What if you looked at your own life with its various problems and difficulties and just nonchalantly said to yourself, "Oh, well, it is what it is"? And you never ever made the effort to try to change things, make things better, or to improve your life. It was St. Augustine who said, "Lord, thou givest us everything with the price of an effort." So where's your effort, people of God? Where's your effort in your family? Where's your effort in your walk with the Lord? We too need to be like those people that were gathered on that road down from the Mount of Olivet and streaming into the holy city, following after their Lord. Imagine with me for a moment if the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, looked at your sin and mine and simply said to himself, "It is what it is." What if Jesus of Nazareth decided to leave you and I in our
it is what it is, life. Well, I've got great news for you today. He didn't. Rather than blithely accepting life as something that we are powerless to change, Jesus took action. And today is the celebration of that action that He is taking on our behalf. Did He take action to make a name for Himself? No. Did He take action to consolidate His power amongst all of His followers? Did He take action to preserve some kind of institution? Not at all, not by any means. No, He took action to save us from it is what it is. Whatever it is. Now, if you want to be a part of the action that He took on your behalf to overcome the inertia of it is what it is, there are three things that you and I will need to do. And the first is, we must do as He asks us or as He directs us to do. Remember what Mary said to the stewards there at the wedding feast in Cana in John chapter 2. Whatever He asks of you to do, please do it. Well, the same thing is also happening here. Jesus asked His disciples to go and get the colt for Him to ride on, and they do it. They follow the Lord's instructions. When we do what Jesus wants us to do, we become participants in the process of change in our lives. So follow His directions and ask yourselves, what is the Lord asking me to do? For some, that might mean untying a donkey. For others, it might mean taking a missions trip abroad. For some, it might mean providing transportation for those who cannot or do not drive. For others, it might mean serving a community meal or making a financial donation or distributing food back out to the needy. You get the idea. Secondly, we not only do the first thing, following through on what He asks or directs us to do, but secondly, let's be a bit spontaneous, shall we? Whenever I hear, it is what it is, I kind of cringe inside because I feel locked in or shut out, and that if everything is, it is what it is, then change isn't really much of an option. But if I've learned any one thing in life, it's that spontaneity, responding to your raw gut emotions in life, notice I didn't say impulsiveness, leads to and reinforces change. Spontaneity leads to purposeful change. And predictability, while safe, it usually reinforces the status quo. And we all know what Ronald Reagan said about the status quo, right? He said, the status quo, you know, is Latin for the mess that we are in. Why does spontaneity create change? Because spontaneity gets us in touch with the emotional side of our faith. Oh, yes, our faith has an emotional side. I can remember, for example, when I was an undergraduate in college, and we always had to attend mandatory chapel services. They were a minimum of two, oftentimes three times a week. We would all pile into the campus chapel very, very early in the morning, and we would have worship and praise. We would sing hymns. There was always a special speaker, but there was also a special soloist, and we had a wonderful music department at the college where I was enrolled. So usually it was some of the students from the College of Music that would provide the solo spot for us in that chapel service. I'll never forget the one chapel service where I attended, and the soloist who was supposed to sing for us was a no-show. Now let me share with you, for these chapel services, most of the student body, give or take, because this was a Christian college, put forth their best effort to look presentable for the chapel service. But as I said, we were waiting and waiting and waiting for the soloist, who I guess wasn't going to show up until back through the doors of the chapel comes the student who was scheduled to sing the solo. And as I glanced at him, he came walking down the center aisle of the chapel, his hair absolutely soaking wet, and he was wearing a white t-shirt and jeans. In other words, he must have forgot, and at the last minute grabbed a shower, his hair being dripping wet, threw on whatever clothes were closest to his bed, ran down to the chapel and began to sing for us. And my friends, I've got to tell you, it was the most powerful, moving solo I have ever heard in my life. I can see him walking down the aisle even in this moment. Praise God for spontaneity. Last week, I finished a sermon series on the seven signs found in John's Gospel. I hope you were all blessed by that sermon series. Can I get an amen if you were blessed by that? Yeah, praise God, praise God. The last sign was found in John chapter 11 with the raising of Lazarus. But if we read just one chapter further, and I know the Bible study that's reading John, they're going to be reading this soon. If we read one chapter farther to John chapter 12, we will find an amazing act, and that of Mary pouring out the oil, the ointment upon Jesus' feet to anoint him, to prepare him for his crucifixion and for his burial. And her act of pouring out that oil was heartfelt, it was emotional, and it was spontaneous. When was the last time that you felt moved by spontaneity to praise God? When was the last time you cried in the presence of God? When was the last time that God brought a really big smile to your face? I don't know about you, but it should have been this morning when we saw all of these wonderful children here on the chancel steps. Amen? Amen, yeah. Now, I've got to tell you that the flip side of spontaneity is boredom. And I don't know about you, but I don't worship a boring God. I don't worship a boring God, my friends, that has run out of ideas about what to do with his runaway kids, yeah? The reason I keep worshiping God, well, it's because I never know what God is going to do next. Never know what God is going to do next, you know? Grab a donkey and go for a ride, yeah? Well, the God of this universe, you see, can maneuver the vehicle of our lives in lots of different directions. And the fun part is, and I hope I get an amen from this, is that you and I ain't driving. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we ain't driving. If we think we're driving, we're just kidding ourselves, okay? No. If you want God all nailed down in some kind of sweet cosmic system, then you need to be a Hindu and not a Christian, okay? And this spontaneity, which, by the way, led the crowd to toss down their coats and cloaks and cut these palm branches down from the trees, this spontaneity leads to doing the happy dance. You've all heard of the happy dance, yeah? It's not a particular learned dance move. It's just when there's something exciting, you know, you got to move. You got to have a little happiness, yeah? And that's the third thing. You see, the happy dance overcomes the mundane, rote predictability of, oh, well, it is what it is. Yeah? So when was the last time that you did a little jig for Jesus? Come on now, people. Uh-huh. I know, but when was the last time, yeah? Because he did one for us. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he danced the two-step right around the devil. That's what he did. And he did it joyfully, says the book of Philippians, to purchase
and to save you and I. You see, if it's been so long that you can't remember doing a little jig for your salvation, then your faith is dry indeed, my friends. Whoo! You got to do that little jig for Jesus. Yeah, come on. I know I've got some Baptists out there in my congregation somewhere. Yeah? Amen. Yeah. The point of Jesus saying to some of the Pharisees, I tell you, if they, the crowd, were to keep silent, the stones would cry out. The stones would cry out was Jesus' way of saying that the whole universe was vibing with Him. It was vibing with Him on that Palm Sunday morning. Now there are times when silence, keeping the peace, keeping your head down and playing it safe, are not golden. When we shouldn't do it. And this was one of them. So, my friends, don't just accept it is what it is. Jesus didn't. Jesus came to change us. Today He enters not only Jerusalem, but where, my friends? Our hearts. He enters our hearts. And our hearts are truly the throne that our King comes to be seated upon. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.